Are we ready? Are we recording?
Good morning, everybody. It's 9 a.m.
And this is the Security Committee meeting on December 4th, 2025. It's 9 a.m. And that's the call to order. Comments from the public, which we don't have a public. So we'll move right along to the security report.
All right. We'll start with the operational updates. There's currently two available positions. One's for a full-time security patrol officer, and the other is for a full-time gate officer. Currently, there are 5 part-time gate officers and 6 full-time gate officers, 3 full-time patrol officers, and we have 14 employees in total. There's 5 probationary employees. And so this month, I assisted the interim general manager, Amelia Wilder, with setting up the new emergency alert system through HQE Systems.
That's great.
And it,
thank you.
It helped.
No, I wanna correct that, if I may. Mm-hmm. You didn't assist me. You did it. And I said, please do it. And thank you very much.
Yeah, I felt like it was a team effort.
Yeah, you were totally the lead on that, Brandon. Thank you.
And I just want to add one quick little thing. 2 people out is really a hardship, you know. I mean, and he's working like crazy to get, you know, more people. Mm-hmm. It's coming up to the end of the half year, you know, 2025, and I'm hoping, beyond hope, that we can get the barcode thing moving. I don't know where we are. Barcode fees.
Yeah.
So that we can hire another patrol officer.
And if I'm
sure it is, yeah. Well, maybe we'll bring it up at the board meeting. And
well,
see.
I have to have movement on it before I can bring it up.
Oh,
Brandon,
okay.
let's work on that. Because Brandon's really good at getting stuff done for me, and I appreciate
okay.
it. Can you give us an update on the people that you've interviewed for this position?
Yeah, so I held interviews for the gate officer and the patrol officer position, and I found 2 qualified applicants. For the patrol officer position, there is specifically 2 applicants that were just matched perfectly together, and it came down to just which one I thought would fit best here.
Uh-huh.
So right now, him and then also the gate officer, they're going through through the backgrounds right now, and
okay.
you know, so they will be hired shortly as soon as we find out that their stuff cleared, they'll start training as soon as possible. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. So it's not.
And
it's
now
not
we now we
quite
only
the tragedy
bring people
that
on 2 times a month.
Oh, okay.
So that it coordinates with our payroll days.
Perfect.
So it makes
perfect.
Yeah, it makes everything.
That's great.
Right. Smoother. Yeah, we just have an onboarding process now.
Thanks. So we're going to work some more on that barcode thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that money. I don't think it will apply to the past. It will have to apply to the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that will give us another patrol officer.
Right.
Thank you.
And so continuing with the operational updates, we had a problem with the north gates. The middle lane, it has a wiring problem and it shorted out. And also the far barcode reader of the resident lane, it's having an issue reading the black barcodes. So we've also noted to the public when they do have those problems with their barcodes to go to the south gate and get it updated with a black and white barcode, which those seem not to have a problem at all. I contacted A&D Gates and immediately they came out, they gave us a quote, we approved the quote, and as of right now they're waiting for parts. So they couldn't give me an update on when they could get the stuff going to fix our gates. It's currently a problem that I'm working on, and I also have another company coming out to see if they could get the work done quicker. So it's on the top of the priority list, is to get those gates up and running.
What was the quote?
What was the what quote?
Oh, wait, did you say they gave you a quote?
Yeah, they gave us a quote. It was under $5,000.
Okay.
It was just a simple $2,359 to do the rewiring. And then to get the visitor lane barcode back working again, that was $978.
Okay, so that's great. Okay.
So Yeah, there's that. And then for that new alert system, myself, Travis, and Corey all attended the training, and we learned how to send out emergency alerts if need be, if the problem arises. We're all capable of doing that. As far as everything else goes through the Rancho Merida Association activity, my guys continue to do traffic enforcement with speed, stop signs, and enforcing general non-ARC rules. And as always, I attached the numbers for the denied entries, how much gate entries we have per month, and if there's any questions with any of the numbers on the report, you can always ask.
Do you know if there were any snags or hiccups on Thanksgiving on people getting in?
It wasn't as bad, they said, in previous years, but as pretty much they got everybody in. I kind of gave them some guidance on how to operate during that day with what we have. So right. They made it work.
We, my family and I took a ride from the south to the north and went out to the back lakes to look around. And so we had the guest car. So we stopped at the visitor gate, and he was lovely. He was the nicest guy. Nice. So I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's the security report. Now it comes to security operations. Oh, and by the way, I did a agenda, and it was too much. And then Amelia and I talked, and then I did one that was too little. And so I want to thank Amelia and Diane for living with me and going through this so that we can get a decent-looking agenda. It doesn't change the fact that there's a lot to go over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with security operations. Under that title, we're going to go to gate programs. And I did want to comment that we got a social media thread from Beth Bedaris.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's printed up in the back.
Right.
And we'll add that to the website. Because we've shared that at a meeting, that becomes part of our public record. And so anything that's shared, even if we're just handing it out here, needs to go on public record, including something that somebody from the audience would come up and give, which happens, they give to all the board members, and they give to the audience members. That has to go on the website, too.
So what was really refreshing and reassuring was that many, many people commented on how badly this community was treating our gate officers, and they did what some of us would like to do, and that is so they called them out.
Yeah.
And they basically said, you know, these people are doing their job and they're working hard, and
didn't break the gates.
They didn't break the gates, right? Right. And I hope that you share that with your staff.
I did,
Brandon. Okay, because sometimes all we hear is the complaints, and so. Within the threads, we had a lot of comments on how great the gate officers are doing. And also, that's refreshing because we had a few months there that we had big-time complaints and big-time problems. So, yay. the thing that has been coming up with the gates is, and Brandon's brought it up a couple times, gate repairs, and Brandon helped me do this, and so Brandon, jump in anytime I make a mistake.
Okay.
Gate repairs on the north, it's the middle lane, he just spoke about that, which is broken, and we've been waiting for parts, and now he's got another fellow coming in.
Right. Yeah.
So hopefully that will make for a faster repair. I want to say, if there's some way that we can tell people about this, I mean, they're complaining, so they know about it, but if there's even just a temporary sign we could put up, or is there anything like that we've been able to do?
We coned off the intersection.
You coned it off.
That way it kind of funnels them either to the visitor lane or to the far resident lane.
Yeah.
Can you write something for the Facebook and the website that says, please excuse the lines at the gates while we work as quickly as we can to get the
gate repair. Gates repaired. Right, right.
You know, we've contacted our vendor, and we're waiting on parts.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Which is a problem everywhere. Travis and Corey were telling us yesterday that some of the parts for the 6B lift station are 8 to 12 weeks out.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And
some of that is reminiscent of what happened right after COVID.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
I was just thinking
the
that.
Supply chain was really tough.
Yeah.
So we are going to try, we're going to bring this to the board, actually. Proactive gate replacement.
There.
And in my brain, I'm operating on that $106,000 that Cecilia said is available for CIP projects, hopefully. That's what she came up with. I'm not sure that that's there, and I'm not sure that she's sure. Excuse me. But I'm thinking that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that these repairs that we're doing are
eligible for that.
Are, mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're going to come out of that $106,000. I don't know if we have another, and these are questions I have to get answers from Cecilia, but I don't know if there's another category.
No, we have. That $106,000, I'm looking at the...
Yeah.
That's in the security impact fee reserve, and it is my understanding, yeah, those are connection fees that have come from past development, so those can only be used for...
Repairs.
No, those can only be used to put in new infrastructure, new cameras. If we had to add a new gate, yeah, we could do that, but we don't have...
So we don't know if we have $106,000.
This is true. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, the security capital improvement reserve is negative $85,000.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
that changes things.
This is something that has to come up in the, you know, next year's budget cycle, which we're going to be starting before we know it, and see if the board will approve taking some of the money out of the...
Property tax.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because...
Okay, so that does make something I was thinking about. So what we would like to do is a proactive gate replacement program, and we would like to start with in the north. There's 6 gates in the north. One we're fixing, one that isn't broken yet, or 2 that aren't broken yet. So what we would like to do in the north is replace the far right resident lane, right?
Yeah, the far resident lane.
And either the Lago first gate or the
visitor lane.
Visitor gate. So that would be 3. I mean 2 in the north, and then in the south, it would be the resident lane that isn't. There's only 2.
Yeah, the inner resident lane.
Yeah. We just fixed the one and the other one, so that would be our on our wish list. And one of the things I was going to suggest is that if we can't get it out of money that we have now, then or don't have now, then can we get this started on the budget for June?
For next year?
Yeah, for next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, we're just realizing that we have a problem with these gates right now, and it's a lot of old equipment. So we're just trying to get this stuff replaced and get it up to speed with everything. So
Brandon, it seems like you got a quote to replace all the gates.
Off
the top of your head,
it was about $90,000, and that quote was only good for about maybe 2 months. Because he said that it would go up after the new year just because manufacturing and stuff changes. So that quote's not going to stay valid throughout, you know.
And that's why we were talking about replacement project and taking on,
a year.
If we do do 2 to 3 a year, by 5 years, we'll have all new gates. So
maybe sooner if we can book Carter. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was our discussion, and we've talked about this in the past. Not having that $106,000 is.
Yeah, we can only use that
for. I gotcha. Yeah. I'm going to send Cecilia an email and ask her to look at certain things for us in the budget. If there's anything for now, which doesn't sound like for January through June, but and then
the only available source of funding for the security department, in addition to the Measure J, which we know
is inadequate,
would be. And
property
tax.
While
the grand jury recommended,
I know, they did not insist.
They don't have the authority to make us do anything, and so
I got it.
So
yeah.
The board has to
decide
on
And I don't mind putting this on the. I mean, some of that I think, has to go to the
reserves.
Board.
Of those property
taxes,
I
agree.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But just for a discussion item in the board, I'd like to go through some of this and see.
Yeah. Honestly, I think one of the main things that we need to focus on, too, when it comes to these gates is finding a reliable vendor that's going to come out and fix these as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And also,
and
I think,
not in weeks and weeks and weeks.
Exactly. And also, maybe if they could come out every 6 months to a year and inspect the gates to make sure everything's up to par. Because I think that's a lot of what's failing right now is that we just wait until they're broken and then somebody comes in, you know.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like changing the oil in your car. I think it's one of those things that we need
to. No, Brandon, it's like changing the oil in your car after it's blown up.
Yeah.
The motor.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so I think coming up with a good plan on how we're going to maintain the gates in the long run, once we get the work done and keep up with it, it'll save money in the long run.
So maybe, I'm not sure when we should do this, but I do want to put these topics for discussion at the board meeting, not for action necessarily, but and then include Cecilia. I'll send that email to her and ask her what she can tell us. As far as security operations, I was going to talk about that in a minute. Special impact fees. The need is to sort it out. We need to look at the audits from those years, and I understand that Mike Martell has a notebook, and I'm going to get that and go through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the special impact fees situation, we have to deal with it, but we have work to do on it. And so we're going to.
I'm not sure what special impact fees are.
Security impact fees.
That's the developer fees.
Right.
Okay.
But we don't know.
And I understand that you're working on a project to figure out exactly how many cameras, where they need to go for the new development?
Wait, no.
Oh, no.
No, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But we need to know about what we have in security impact fees and where we can use it. And right now it's like a big question mark.
It's not a big question mark. We have $106,754 in the security impact fee account. Maybe. And that can only be used toward new development.
Got that. But we don't really know what happened in the past.
Yeah.
And we don't know if there was money used that we should have now. And that's the project. And like I said, I actually had some copies of audits at my house, and I looked at the audit from 2021. There was a line item called security impact fees, but there was no money next to it. So all of that makes me wonder, what's happened with that. I understand that that it looks like we have $106,000 right now.
Right.
But
it's just an estimate.
Again, what happened? Maybe there was no building. Maybe there were no fees collected, and all that sort of stuff. But I think we need to at least get some information settled with that, and I'll work on that with with you guys and with Cecilia. I don't know what her time frame is going to be like, but we'll see what we can do.
Okay.
So did we finish proactive gate replacement? I guess we did. Addressing some of the complaints regarding the new South Gate, I understand that it's slower, and that's how we got it. It came that way. And frankly, I hope the rest of them come that way. The idea behind the gate is that you stop. You don't slow down and roll through it because it whips up fast. And so the other part of that that is, I think, really good is that when you come off of Jackson Highway, you're going 50 or 55 miles an hour. When you stop at the gate, psychologically, it prepares you for going into the community at 25 miles an hour. So I would be happy to make a statement in the pipeline or any place else that we don't know how the gates are going to come. This one came with a slower mechanism. We don't really even know if perhaps there's some regulation.
Crossed my mind. Maybe they're supposed to go that slow now.
Right, exactly. So anyway, what we get is what the community will have to adjust to.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's helpful because everybody in California, I swear, you know, rolling stops. Nobody ever really stops at a stop sign to turn right. And I've looked at Bradshaw and Jackson Highway, and there's traffic coming from 14 different directions. People never stop when they're making that right-hand turn. They don't know what's coming through. And so, anyway, it's habits that people have developed over the years, and they're carrying it into this community. You know, we all do it one way or the other. They roll through stop signs on a regular basis. So this is just going to slow you down about 10 seconds. That's what it is, about 10 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which gives you just enough time to react if somebody's walking past. I mean, yeah.
The next item under security operations is the radio replacements. And again, I don't know what we're going to be able to do, but I definitely want to put this on the list of things that we need to take care of. And
I thought Brandon had an alternate solution possible.
I was looking into it, and after talking to Andy, so some of the stuff that spoke of on the radio is it should be encrypted, which the radios we currently use, nobody could really hack into and listen to our conversations because there's confidential information that's relayed over the radio with people's addresses, names, and stuff like that that you wouldn't want to reach out. If we were to go to those other radios that I was looking at, that's unprotected, anybody could just get onto our lines.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. And so now I'm seeing why we need the FCC license for the radios.
Yeah.
And also there is going to be times where we need to talk to the fire department or the sheriffs, and they're able just to switch over to our channel and talk to us if need be. And so if there's ever like a fire and emergency situations, they wouldn't be able to get onto those other, you know, little radios.
Right. Interesting.
So,
okay. So we just have to find a more cost-effective solution.
Yeah.
Well,
and how many radios do we have?
So right now we have two that are broken, and we have a total of six, so that we're brought down to about four radios.
How many do we need?
We need a total of six. Well, I mean, two to replace the broken ones, because we could probably just keep using the same ones. But maybe it's something, a matter of we could look on eBay for some old ones and put those to use maybe.
So we have six, and two of them are broken. So does that mean we have four functional radios?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I don't understand why we need six.
So there's one that I have, and then there's one for the patrol guys when they go out. And then there's one at the North Gate. Compliance carries one, so he could talk with us.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's a, they're
so
all.
So we need four.
Correct. Have to have four no matter what.
Okay.
So, again, my reason for bringing that up is because we have to find some money for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys should not be without radios. Brandon said there were three cost levels that he's investigated, one for $18,000, one for $23,000, and one for $33,000. We would probably look at the mid-range. Are you recommending that all of them be replaced?
I would, because if they keep breaking, the parts are no longer made. They're no longer manufactured. So to try to eat, because I looked into sending in the radios to get them fixed, and they said that they no longer manufacture the parts, that they're obsolete. So if we get some new radios, they won't be obsolete. And if they do break, we could just send them in to get fixed. And there's also probably the option of leasing radios, and paying a monthly or yearly fee instead of having to buy them out. But as long as I've worked here, from what I know, we don't even lease vehicles. So.
We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah.
Currently, we buy our vehicles with cash. We have in the past
Correct.
Lease vehicle. That's another story. So since we have four that are functioning and we need to replace two, maybe we can do replace a couple a year, like the gate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was just thinking.
In the box.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah. Until they're all replaced in 5 years or four
right.
years or something.
Yeah.
And that would cost us less than $23,000.
So then $18,000, $23,000 for all six?
Yeah, it's for all six to be replaced at once.
Oh, okay, so then let's find out how much it is to just replace two now.
Right.
And then we'll have two brand new ones. Oh, and then the next question is, because we're going on a radio frequency band or something,
mm-hmm.
The old radios will still be able to call and get on that.
Yeah, it'll still
they'll
be on
compatible
the same band.
With each other.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okie dokie.
So we're adding that to the list of questions.
Yeah.
For Cecilia.
Yeah, to just get two of them now.
Yeah.
And then put them on the CIP and hope the board
right.
approves it.
I mean, right. Right. And maybe even we could approve a couple things. Maybe not the gates, since hopefully we'll have all of them working and we can start in the next CIP cycle.
Yeah.
But something like the radios, if they aren't too much, maybe we can find some of that money.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we don't want to have just the bare minimum. We need a backup. We need backups.
Yeah.
And then we use the new ones for our main radios, and the older ones will be the backup. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. We talked about special impact fees, which are, I'm sorry, I keep saying special. I mean to say security. I'd like to look into that in terms of the definition of how we can use that money.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Brandon is also gonna give us a review and a suggestion for the computer programming that we use, ABDI's program.
Right. I would like to talk more about switching over our current gate access system, which right now currently we use ABDI. Which it's okay. We already know the situation with the service. It's hard to get a hold of anybody over there, and when we do, they, it could be months until they fix something. However, they did provide me with a proposal to integrate AI license plate readers, which would be the one-time startup cost of $6,324, and then it takes our bill up to our monthly total bill up to $1,841 a month. And
so
then,
an extra $400 a month.
Right. And then just the one-time startup cost of $6,000. With that, we would start, I honestly just wanted to see if there's some kind of a trial that we could do with them to see if it speeds up things. But if it doesn't work for us, we have this other platform that we've looked at, Go Access.
Right.
And you know, the startup fee for them is going to be in the range of almost, I want to say, about $20,000 to start up. And that's to put in the new hardware that they would need to give us. But they also have the guest lane and AI recognition that that I want to test out. They do have different functions like a community platform to where they could message board. So,
which would,
you know,
be awesome.
We would be able to get messages.
That would be awesome. I think that the community would actually use that.
Yeah.
So tell me what AI license plate readers are.
So when you come up to the gate right now, we're going to ask you a series of questions. What's your name? Where are you heading to? What's the last name of the resident? And if they could provide us with either one, we could type it up and search. That's time consuming right there.
Right.
However, if somebody were to come up to the gate when we have this AI recognition for your license plates, it'll show a message will show up on the screen already showing us where you usually go and where you have been throughout the community, and all they would have to say is, I'm going here. You click on the button, their license plate's already entered, the guy doesn't have to type, and then you're on your way. So
way faster.
Yeah, so it will speed up the process
way faster.
And you know, it probably we wouldn't have to worry too much like when 4th of July and these big holidays roll around where we have to have more manpower and more money just to make sure that everybody gets in here in a timely manner and safely from the Jackson Highway. Because it is a safety issue when there's cars backing up onto that Jackson Highway. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's just caused by our slow functioning system that we currently use. So if there's any way to speed these things up, I know it costs money, but it's one of those things where it's going to save us from getting in trouble with that Jackson Highway.
And the other thing that that you mentioned is that what we would get in the new program is more than we have in the existing ABDI.
Correct.
What we would lose is the patrol officer's
reporting system.
But Brandon said, when we were talking, he said he thought that would be relatively minor and that eventually we would be this company would be putting in the patrol officers too.
Yeah, when I last talked to him, he said that he was going to have his guys work on a similar system to what we use for the patrol side of it. And in the meantime, we would find a different solution for, you know, what's, you know, to make up for that. So, mm-hmm.
So again, I'm going to put this together and do a presentation to the board and ask for comments, et cetera, and Cecilia especially, to see what we can get in the next CIP budget.
So let's put that in with the CIP budget cycle.
Yeah.
Like just have that be already on the budget and just like, okay, and this is what else we need.
And we always have that other option, too, of with the ABDI. You know, that's going to be just something that I don't even think has to get board approval, right?
It's $20,000.
No.
Oh,
no, that's ABDI. $6,000.
Yeah, for that one time.
See if you can get a trial. But it does have to have board approval because it's over $5,000.
Okay, so, but it's just not going to be that big cost of, you know, starting it up.
You know, and then we have to see where $6,000 is going to come from.
Yeah.
Again, something that we need to put on the list for Cecilia to be able to talk to us about. All right. The security budget, we basically have talked about that and everything that we want to do. The camera program that I asked for a work group. This is a program that was started in the past, and it wasn't just for new development. It was for the whole community. And what we'd like to do is... or what I'd like to do, and I've gotten a good response so far. The only person, so I picked five, one, two, three, four, five people to be on the work group. Mm-hmm. And those five people are Brandon and Chris from Compliance, Rod Hart, who has already answered me, and myself, and then Mike Martell, who has also already answered me. The only person I haven't heard from is Chris. And what we want to do, basically, is we want to look at what's been done, where the cameras are, how much did it cost, who's sharing it, and who's reading. I believe it's security that reads the cameras.
Yeah, the monitors and surveillance systems. Have.
But then we don't have access to RMA's cameras.
No.
Can they see our cameras?
I don't believe so, no. Because ours are protected, I believe, right? Under the
I don't.
Well, we can talk about that. That's
yeah,
another,
let's talk about that.
That's another question.
Yeah.
And then a second topic would be when we know what we have, et cetera, and who's doing what, then we want to take a look at what we can do going forward. Where could we put cameras? How much would a program of X number of cameras cost us, et cetera? and working with RMA on this so that the cost is absorbed by both RMA and CSD, because there's a way to look at it, and one is from compliance perspective and the other is from the security perspective as it relates to all the different mechanisms and equipment that we have that we're trying to take care of, and all, you know, like the Rio Oso tank and stuff like that. It would be a compliance issue and a security issue, so it would be shared, because if we put a camera at a plant, compliance would be if people were messing with it, and security would be securing the plant. So,
right. And see, now that camera, in my mind, doesn't get charged to security. That gets charged to water. And a camera at a lift station,
it could,
right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Gets charged to wastewater or sewer. And I don't think that a camera that looks over the lake to see the beavers eating the lines in the reservoir, that isn't security.
Well,
in my mind, that should fall and be charged to, right? One of those.
It all depends. If somebody's messing with the reservoirs, dumping something in the water, you know, whatever.
Houses.
Yeah, right. All that sort of stuff. So that would all have to be looked at.
Okay. To see if we can't use some of those funds to.
Yeah.
I don't know where the money. I mean, I don't know what the money is going to be, and I don't know where it's going to be. I just know that it would be helpful if wherever we were looking at putting cameras, that it be looked at from a compliance versus. Or not versus, but a compliance and security issue, so that we can get help doing it. And yes, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure that I agree, just in the sense that as many things that we can get done to help with security everywhere in the community, that's I really like the idea of working together with them on that and sharing the cost.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, it's all up for discussion. That's why we're going to have a work group.
Okay.
so that is the idea of the camera program. It's definitely separate from the other camera. I think that... Was there another camera program that we were talking about? Or was that the only one? Well, we were talking about the radios. I think that's the only one. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't necessarily, at this point anyways, we won't be involved in costing it out until next year.
Okay, perfect.
security, I'm going to security, oh, the security board meeting. We've had to put that off, and as Brandon and I were discussing this, I think we could probably do it at a board meeting. It would take a little time, but if the first part is giving a brief history of what happened last year and why we want to change the CO job description.
Right, the CSO, okay.
Right. And so then the second part would be Brandon's part, where he would explain, observe and report, and we would have a discussion about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part would be equipment, and Brandon's already done some questioning of staff, et cetera, so I think we could get through that pretty quickly. So I said 5 minutes for the CSO history, 15 minutes for the job and observe and report discussion, and probably 10 minutes for equipment. Brandon, does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
Okay. So,
sure, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So then we'll set the timer and say, you know what, director, time's up.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
So I'm trying to think of how do we need to present this to the board, and I'd probably present it to at least John and Bill, or John
for having a meeting.
Yeah,
they know we're going to have a meeting, and we'll just show them the agenda.
I think she's saying adding it to the next board meeting
agenda
instead of a separate meeting. So just adding it to our board, our December board agenda.
Right.
I'd have you to be quick.
Well, I said, 5 minutes for the history, 15 minutes for the job description and observe and report, and 10 minutes for the... We've struggled to try and find time to do this, and I don't really want it to go along any farther.
Yeah.
I
try to have as few special board meetings as possible, because I know that the directors have planned their schedules around coming to the regular board meeting, and I want to give everybody the opportunity to be involved in discussions and decisions. And I try and make this.
Right now, yes, our board meetings are long. And maybe excessively long, and maybe there's a way to work on that. This would be a one-time thing in terms of board action. I think this, after the discussion, we could take action. That would be that the board would say, yes, let's do that at the January board meeting.
I think that I heard you that you want to just have it as a quick, scheduling the meeting.
The meeting, right.
So then let's just, can we add it right in with the, when we talk about next month's meeting plans?
For January. Yeah, right.
The meeting, the calendar, the schedule for the next month.
Mm-hmm.
And then pause and say, by the way, at the next meeting, I want to
under calendaring.
It's going to be a little bit longer, because we're going to try and take care of dedicate
make decisions.
30 minutes toward the security.
And it might be less than that.
And then see what the board says. If they say, yeah, I'm willing to commit an extra 30 minutes in January,
Yeah.
And I keep thinking we're going to have a meeting someday. Remember those short meetings we used to have, Linda?
Yeah.
Remember getting out of here at 7:30, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, there were a couple. There weren't a lot.
Yeah.
And I've heard some suggestions that might be worth discussing, I think, but not necessarily in security. all right, I will. We'll put that under calendaring. All righty.
Okay. Cool. I love it. I like that.
That covers everything that we have scheduled on the agenda. Does staff have any other comments? I have a couple, but staff first.
No? I do have a comment. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Candy Lee, who's not in here. Thank you, Travis and Corey, for working through the Code Red HQE, the emergency alert system. That's really important, and we were only offline maybe 3 or 4 days before we were able to find a new company, get going with that. So
get that taken care of.
Yeah, because Code Red went away, in a blink of an eye. And so Diane and Brandon are working on putting a message on the internet to let everybody know that we've switched providers. But we've we were able to import their data. So we still have everybody's phone numbers, addresses, et cetera. So
there's a couple things that we would maybe move to from security to communications.
Oh.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. We have to communicate this to people.
Yeah, and we're doing it. I mean, that okay. should go up today.
Yeah,
you guys are probably already working on it and letting me see a draft.
Yes.
Of a little blurb to put
so up. So you can help Facebook. Me with the next communications meeting to put a few of these things on the agenda.
Okay. And we'll just report back on these because they'll already have been communicated. It'll already be in the pipeline.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I have two comments. The questions have come to us about is security going to go to RMA? Mm-hmm. And that is really not a discussion for the security committee. That is a discussion between general managers general managers and board presidents. Mm-hmm. And they have been communicating with each other, but there is no real... Nothing to report, right. So I just wanted to make that clear because people have asked us, how come this, you know, what's going on with that and RMA and CSD? And so it's not something that security is going to report on. That's number one. The second one is I have been in the process of cleaning out many things in my house related to the CSD. Collections of information, paper, et cetera. And one of the things that I've always thought was really important that we don't pay enough attention to with new employees, et cetera, is the history of security, in particular, in Rancho Murrieta. So I will put together all of the stuff that I have, and we can make it available to anybody who's interested in knowing about it. Okay? Anything else? Okay.
Awesome.
We are adjourned.